This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is another suggestion from a listener from Glendora, California. She actually requested a show on the parathyroid glands because her brother-in-law has a growth on one of them and really isn't sure what to do. So the doctor is suggesting removing them. He's not really in favor of doing that. He's kind of anti-medicine when we really got down to talking about it. So what he really wanted to do is to know, is there anything that he could do that could be done from an alternative standpoint that would allow him to have to not have to go through surgery? And the more she and I talked to find out more about the situation and so forth, what I really found out in the course of everything, to the extent that the parathyroid had been impacted, and it really isn't one gland, I'm going to talk about that, but the best thing for him was surgery. So I thought, what an interesting topic for us to really talk about on the show. Number one is a suggestion. And then number two, these little glands are something that most of us honestly don't even think about. They're kind of hidden way back behind that thyroid. And the reality of it is we really don't know much about them, nor do we know about the big job they really do in helping the body stay in a state of balance and that overall well-being. So I decided it's a great way to talk about a topic that we are suggested and that also we may not know a lot about. So one of the things, and I said to her, and I want to start out by starting the show also with this, a lot of times we think of the parathyroid glands as being part of the thyroid gland itself, and they're actually two different sets of glands. Each one has a different function, but both of them are absolutely rely on each other in order for each other to function properly. So that was one of the questions that she asked is, are they the same thing? And if they are, then can we treat parathyroid disorders the same way that we would treat thyroid? And the answer, very honestly, is no. So from this particular perspective, I'm going to be sharing a lot more about the functionality of the parathyroids. And then in the last segment, I'm going to be talking about some of the things that can be done to be able to work on the thyroid, the parathyroid glands. And what do you do if you find yourself in a situation where you find an imbalance in the parathyroid hormones? They're actually part of the endocrine system. What options do you have? So again, I hope that my listener that suggested the show and then also all of you find this of value, because I'm going to connect malfunction of the parathyroids to other things that happen in the body that we may not even be thinking about being connected, but in fact they are. Also, if you have a suggestion for me about a show topic, I love doing that. I love the research part of it and to be able to provide information not only for our listener but for all of you. So if you have a topic that you would like me to cover, then I'm going to encourage you to go to my website at www.ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, and then send me what that suggestion is. And then if it's a topic that I've not done before, I'm going to actually add it to my future show schedule. And then also, it may be a topic that would have enough substance to it that I will actually create a Your Health teleclass around it. So I do so much appreciate your suggestions and your, not only that, but your interest in my work. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your parathyroid glands or about your health or really about any question that you have that may be a decision that you're making in your life or something that's creating stress and so forth, I'd love to share my medical intuitive skills and my intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for international callers as well as callers in the U.S. and, of course, Canada, considered sometimes international. All you have to do is just dial for international callers. Then what you do is just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I'd also like to invite you to join me for my January 31st telegathering. It's the launch of a brand new series of telegatherings I'm going to be doing on a bi-monthly basis, six of them over the course of the year. And again, they're going to be topics that seem to be very near and dear to my listeners and my people in the database as well. And the first class that I'm using as the launch of my telegathering is the ABCs of Surefire and Lasting Weight Loss. It's something that this time of the year all of us think about. Maybe we put on extra pounds over the holidays, or maybe we just seem to have those pounds that have taken up residency, and no matter what we seem to do, they just don't seem to go away. So joining me for this telegathering, it's going to be 90 minutes in length, is Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. I've had her as a guest on my show several times. She's a world-renowned living natural living expert and the author of over 2,000 magazine articles and 27 books on health and healing. And what Susan's Dr. Susan's specialty is really being able to go in and using healing foods, not only just spices that we think of so often, to be able to restore balance in the body, but really looking at the naturalness of foods and the healing qualities they have, and then how to put together a combination of these healing foods to really get that metabolism kicked into gear the way that it needs to, and to stay in a healthy pace so then we can burn off a lot of the weight that we're carrying. And then, of course, we have to look at the calorie intake that we have, and through the foods that Dr. Susan's going to be suggesting, we'll be able to actually work with weight loss by really just learning to eat differently. And not only is the benefit losing weight, but what it's going to do is it's going to change the quality of your skin, and then it's also going to add vitality back in your life. Now, that's Dr. Susan's part of the telegathering. My part is going to be in really sharing a medical intuitive's perspective of why we become overweight and the connection between weight and self-esteem. One of the things as a medical intuitive is I try to offer a holistic perspective of whatever somebody's experiencing in their body. That means looking at it physically and looking at it from a clinical perspective, and then also going in and looking for those hidden contributors that tend to really cause us to hang on, in the case of weight, to hang on to that weight even when we're trying physically to do everything else. So I look at the psychological aspect of it, and then also the role personality plays in the overweight process. We all emotionally eat, but sometimes different personalities eat for different reasons. They eat different types of food. They create a set point based on an emotional set point as much as a physical set point. So I'm going to be sharing that information as well. And then also as a bonus for attending the telegathering, Dr. Susan's going to be offering her free ebook, Living on the Lighter Side, Dr. Susan's Premier Secrets to Accelerated Fat Loss. And then I'm going to be offering a free ebook as well as Overweight and Your Health, Understanding the Effects of Belief, Emotions, and Relationships on why, again, we put that weight on in the first place. Many times if we feel too much, we tend to be people who are highly sensitive or what we in the woo-woo world called empathic. Then what we do is we find that there's a predisposition to emotionally put on weight as well as physically. So I'm going to be offering that book. These two different ebooks are going to be available free to the people who sign up for the telegathering. The cost of the telegathering is $11.95. And if you want more information on it, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and click on the telegathering under the What's New section, and this will take you right to a page that's going to give you more information about the telegathering itself, and then also be able to register. Now, this is a telegathering, so that means that you're going to be able to attend in the comfort of your home or also at the office. So let's go in and just kind of anatomically look at what are parathyroid glands. These are actually part of the endocrine system. That's that seven ductless gland system that we have that really impacts the chemistry, but primarily the hormone balances or lack of it in the physical body. These parathyroid glands are a cluster of glands that just lie behind the thyroid glands itself. They're kind of hiding, but they're again high in their functionality and how they help the body. Sometimes these glands also can be embedded in the thyroid glands, or they can be found on the chest. And what I mean by that is that what we look at from an anatomical standpoint most often is tied to them being set behind the thyroid gland. But, of course, not everyone is a one-size-fits-all. So it may very well be that when they actually embed themselves in the thyroid, while they're both separate glands or clusters of glands, then what can happen is they can actually impact the thyroid by literally embedding in them. That's a completely different situation than just the thyroid being hypo and then the hypoparathyroidism that is in a direct connection, and that we're looking at that more around the hormones themselves. There are usually four parathyroid glands. However, some people only have three, and other people could have as many as six, and I've even worked with doctors who have found that some people even have eight. So again, one size doesn't fit all. The glands themselves are the size of peas, and what they are is they are really responsible for the manufacturing. Not only do the parathyroids have their own functionality as far as the release of hormones dealing specifically with calcium, but they also are a partner with the thyroid itself in order to keep the thyroid balanced. So, for example, if you have a thyroid deficiency, hypothyroidism, then what's going to happen is you can have a deficiency in the T3 or the T4, and what that's going to do is it's going to really come in and it's going to impact the way the body produces and then absorbs and utilizes calcium. And when the hypothyroidism is there, it does increase the predisposition for parathyroid imbalances as well. Now, in the parathyroids, for example, if a tumor is formed on them, then what's going to happen is the parathyroid is not going to function properly. It's going to impact the way the body works with phosphates, also with calcium. And what that's going to do, because calcium is an important part of the thyroid in the regulation of the hormones, T3, T4, then what we can have is we can have a hypothyroidism that may not be tied to a Hashimoto's, where the immune system is actually impacting the thyroid itself, or it may be a different type of hypothyroidism that really isn't tied to the aging process, the female body with the change in the estrogen, progesterone, and so forth. So again, there's a lot of things that can impact it. But I think the thing that I always like to stress in the work that I do is the fact that everything is connected. And where a holistic practitioner, and they're not better than a doctor, but the training of a doctor is to look at a specific area, to look at the symptomology, to go through a process of elimination of the symptoms, to be able to come up with a diagnosis. And many times there isn't that connection that the parathyroid, thyroid, or bosom buddies, or that either of those can impact the adrenals, the kidneys, or the pancreas as well, and then the overall well-being of the body. The function of these glands is to control the formation of bone and the secretion of calcium, and to be able to manage the phosphate concentration in the blood itself. If the parathyroids malfunction, even to the smallest degree, then the production of parathyroid hormone is either reduced or non-existent. Even to the point where it's just slightly impacted, there can be a major impact in the physical body. Some of the research now is showing that when we look at osteopenia in particular versus osteoporosis, then what we find in the osteopenia diagnosis, then what we're really dealing with is we're dealing with more of the parathyroid than we are the thyroid itself. But again, that takes a little more testing in order to look at it. One such malfunction of hypothyroidism, which can actually trigger a nerve disorder, is called tetany, characterized by painful muscle spasms and twitches. People with this disorder may also suffer from dry skin, hair loss, and the susceptibility to candida. Now, if we looked at the actual symptomology of the body with the muscle spasms and the twitches, then we could go in and we could literally look at it from a nerve disorder perspective and realize that maybe in that diagnosing or the testing we're running is that we come up blank from the standpoint that we really don't have a diagnosis, that maybe it's Parkinson's or MS or any kind of degenerative nerve disease. And then a lot of times the next step isn't to go in and to look at the hormone production, whether it's low or non-existent, to see if possibly what we're dealing with is a parathyroid issue. Also, the dry skin is directly tied to a lot of the symptomology of the thyroid gland itself in a deficient state, hypostate. Hair loss is the same thing. And then also the susceptibility to candida can be directly tied not only to the foods that we eat, but to the thyroid gland as well. Other disorders reflective of the reduction of the parathyroid functioning includes kidney stones, again, part of the calcium buildup. It can also be part of the gallbladder stones that people have a tendency to develop. It can also be tied to bladder stones, more rare, but it can happen. And then an abnormal loss of minerals that can actually affect the bones, causing the bones, in the case of osteopenia, the bones to not absorb the calcium that it needs in order to remain healthy, or osteoporosis, where the bones themselves start to degenerate to the point where it looks like Swiss cheese, where we have a lot of holes in the bone mass itself. And then what that can do is it can also, in the bone development, and then we get the osteopenia, we get the osteoporosis, and then also the loss of minerals can also contribute to osteoarthritis and the breakdown of enamel and the well-being of the teeth as well. In rare situations, the malfunction of the parathyroid glands can actually trigger the formation of cancerous tumors on the thyroid glands itself. Now, the thyroid gland itself in a hypostate, or if it goes the other way in a hyperstate, may, in a hypostate, depending on the diagnosis, may develop benign tumors. But if there is an imbalance in the parathyroids, then there is a chance of the development of cancerous tumors. However, in most cases, even the tumors on the thyroid or the tumors that develop on the parathyroids themselves are benign. And both are only discovered when there's pressure put on the larynx or there's difficulty in swelling, or maybe you feel like there's literally a lump in your throat. Then what it can be is that's an indicator that we most likely have some nodule, and that nodule could be on the thyroid or the parathyroids. Also, the parathyroid malfunctioning, the best way to be able to find that malfunction is in blood work. So if you're having different symptoms that you can't seem to connect the dots, nor can your doctor, then what the doctor will do is ask for a blood panel, because the blood really tells us exactly what's going on in the physical body and the way that it coagulates, the sedimentation aspect of it. And then also it gives a lot of where creatine, cycloteines, hormones are, cholesterol with the lipid panel. It's just a good baseline to be able to test. And so from that standpoint, it is a good idea. Even if people really aren't in favor of going to the doctor, it really is a good idea every year to at least get an extensive blood work panel done, so you really know where you are hormonally, estrogen, and all of the other panels, triglycerides, of course, cholesterol, and so forth. People who have multiple endocrine neoplasia type 1 also may develop tumors on the parathyroid glands. And in this particular case, what happens is the parathyroids, instead of being deficient, they're actually going to produce more of their hormone. And then what's going to happen is that these tumors actually develop on the parathyroids. But in most cases, even with this type of a diagnosis, then what we find is the tumors are usually benign. As a medical intuitive, the parathyroids carry much of the same metaphors as the hidden meaning of the thyroid gland. And what I mean by that is anytime I find any kind of energy congestion or anything happening in the physical body that's creating a malfunction or an anomaly in that neck area, it usually has to do with personal expression. And I always explain that we can literally speak and express ourselves two ways. We can express our authentic self, that true nature of who we are, that really the words that we say are in alignment with our core values, they're in alignment with our personality, they're in alignment with who we are. Or we can speak the expectations or the opinions or the perceptions of other people. And how do you know the difference? I get this asked all the time. How do I know the difference if I'm speaking and I'm saying things and they feel like they may be my words, but how do I know if they're my words or not? Well, when we say things about ourselves that are negative or that, you know, we put ourselves down, whether it's done in jest or not, that usually is a reflection of a self-perception that somehow has been shared with us over the course of our life, and in most cases, very early in life. And it could be something as simple as being introverted and being chastised or teased from the fact that people will say to you, does the cat always have your tongue? Cat's got your tongue? Cat's got your tongue? And what we do is we develop a perception that we don't maybe speak as clearly as we need to, or maybe we're not expressing ourselves, or maybe it's better that we don't say anything at all. And all of those things really develop a self-perception that can really roll over into other areas of our life and can really inhibit our ability to express ourselves. So one of the things I also find is the resistance to express our emotional needs, or we actually suppress emotions. This can come from the form of somebody saying to us very early on or continue through life is, you're just too emotional. Everything about you is emotional. Well, when it's delivered in that way, we're going to start to look at those emotions and the needs associated with them as being negative instead of being positive. So those things actually energetically create what it feels to me many times is like somebody has taken their hand around somebody's throat and basically just not really strangling them. Sometimes that occurs, but not usually. And just putting pressure on that area. And then it makes it more difficult for us to feel safe or secure to be able to express ourselves. We also can be in our conditioning afraid to express ourselves for the fear of conflict. This seems to be more of a feminine quality and syndrome than male. However, having said that, there are personalities who tend to, in the male body, who tend to make decisions based on emotional judgments. They will suffer from a lot of the same distortions and a lot of the emotional hurts that women do from being too emotional. So again, it just isn't gender, even though our conditioning as females really come in and strongly support the fact that it's better to be seen than heard, and to express ourselves emotionally is going to open us up and leave us vulnerable, and that's not something that in our human nature any of us wants to do. Also, there's difficulty in bringing expression of dreams and desires. It's kind of holding ourselves back. We get these dreams, we get excited, we want to move forward, and then those distorted perceptions about maybe we never finish anything, or we're indecisive, or we've gone in so many different directions and we never stick with anything, all of those old mantras can come forward. And then what they do is they just take those dreams and they put them on the back burner, and then they put them in a closet, and then they put them deeper into the human psyche, to the point where really to even pull our dreams up sometimes takes a lot of work in order to be able to do that. I also find with the parathyroid and also with thyroid, but this is more parathyroid than the thyroids, is their strong feelings of guilt. And again, that's part of conditioning. We aren't born guilty. There's not a part of us when we're first born that has any guilt about gracing this earth or any guilt about what we're going to do. We just want to get through the day and so forth. But guilt is an actual learned behavior. And it's a behavior that quite honestly helps us survive. So it isn't that it's all bad. But when we are driven by guilt to do things and we hold ourselves back, that's part of the metaphor that I find with parathyroids and thyroids, we hold ourselves back, then what we end up doing is we find ourselves literally creating an energy congestion in that area, and it's very difficult for the energy, the chi from the crown to our brain, to be able to get down through the physical body. I also have found that the parathyroids are energetically connected with the kidneys and the adrenals in the third area, third chakra. That third chakra is tied to our personal power. So I also find that not only is it that resistance or reluctancy to express ourselves verbally, but then what can also happen is that they can, all of those perceptions and opinions of other people, or the perceptions we create off of the opinions of other people, then what they do is it can undermine our self-confidence and personal power. And so there's a connection that's tied to that energetics of the third chakra. But one of the things that in the testing for parathyroid disorders, if that's something that a doctor is going to look at, what they'll do is they'll do a urine test. And what they're looking for, unlike diabetes where they're looking for glucose levels, what they're going to do is they're going to look to see, do you have calcium, elevated levels of calcium in your urine? And if that's the case, then that's an indicator that we're most likely dealing with a parathyroid imbalance. And then also, if you have a predisposition for kidney stones, then a lot of times the doctor will go in and look for either through an MRI or an ultrasound to see if we have any stones, if we have anything going on. Now, the issue with parathyroids is that we could have a parathyroid functioning, but that's not going to show up in an x-ray or an ultrasound. But what it's going to do is it's actually going to show up in the urine itself. Some of the other contributors that I found that's tied to parathyroids is prolonged levels of high anxiety and stress. That particularly is tied to the adrenaline, the corticosteroid, and then also the elevated levels of cortisol that tend to stay elevated when we're in a high anxiety or stress-filled life. Also, uncontrollable worrying, tendency to catastrophize, or what I call awfulize events. Sometimes we do it in order to be able to engage people to get that sympathy or empathy that we're looking for. But sometimes we just take it, things just get blown out of proportion, again, based on our history or based on the situation. And that puts a lot of wear and tear, not only on the thyroid, parathyroid, but also keeps those little adrenals beating like little tom-toms on top of those kidneys and keep everything going in and keeping it at a hypervigilant or hypersensitive state. I've also found in my work and then working with other doctors is that people who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder have a higher predisposition for parathyroid malfunction, specifically hypoparathyroidism, and then also people that perceive life as being uncontrollable and unpredictable. They have anger issues. Anger is a very positive emotion, even though we've been taught to negate it or to suppress it, because what anger does when it wells to the surface and we find it wanting to be expressed very, you know, vehemently in some cases, what it's doing is our soul is saying, this anger inside of you is not serving you well. Let's get it out. Let's, you know, cough it up, spit it out, talk it out, whatever term we want to use, and then be able to go in and really look at the process with the parathyroids and then going in and saying, this anger is telling you that you have suppressed something inside that you've invested a lot of time and energy in, and it needs to come to the surface, the light of the day, for you to be able to look at it. And that may also include looking at the people in your life that trigger that anger and then asking yourself, are they people that, frankly, you want to spend time with and expend energy? What is the opportunity that you have to learn from it? And the other part is I always say to people, we are not born guilty. And we are not born angry. We are not people that are subjected in our essence to being angry people. Those are both learned conditions based on compromise. It loops back to the fact of compromising our core values and who we are. We all do it. It's part of existence in life. But if you do it to the point where it causes you to feel poorly about yourself, then what will happen? That feeling poorly will show up in the physical body. Also, I have found that people who have abandonment issues as a result of traumatic childhood also has a higher predisposition for parathyroid, and in this case, thyroid issues as well. So I'm going to continue to talk about this a little bit more and share how that connection is with Candida, and then also how I see it energetically, and offer some different suggestions on how you can work with the parathyroid should you be diagnosed with a benign tumor, or there's the desire to remove them. So if you please stay tuned, then I'm going to be right back, and I'll continue on with this. So, and then also I'll be taking your calls. So if you want to call me and have me answer any of your questions and everything, call me at 877-230-3062. All right, I'm going to be right back to talk more about those little glands we know nothing about and the big job they do.
chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. And if you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is on parathyroids. Easy to say, the forgotten gland with a big job. It's actually a suggestion from a listener from Glendora, California. I'm going to invite you, for all of you that have just joined me, to please go to my website, www.reitberger.com, and submit a suggestion form to me that you may have for a show. I'm always looking for new topics to research, not only for my show, radio show on a weekly basis, but also for my Your Health teleclass. I am taking your calls, so if you'd like to ask me a question about your health or any other question, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for callers in the U.S., Canada, and then also international callers. I would like to invite you to join me for my free Your Health teleclass at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 26th. The topic that I'm launching this year off is called herpes virus, and it's actually that virus that's a common culprit for a lot of the illnesses that are associated with Epstein-Barr, mononucleosis, lupus, genital herpes, Alzheimer's disease. We know that there's a connection there as well. And then also MS, Bell's palsy, cancer, and even coronary heart disease. In this 60-minute teleclass, I'm going to be discussing how stress management, lifestyle changes, dietary changes, but really important, the emotional release work that can actually help heal herpes. Now, when I say heal herpes, it's an interesting virus from the standpoint that once it gets into the body, it stays there. And it's almost like a sci-fi movie that we had watched, the way it sustains itself. It's not a living organism. That's why antibiotics really don't do a lot to be able to, you know, get rid of a herpes virus. So we really have to look at other ways to be able to just ensure that it's not going to find that perfect environment for it to be able to replicate itself and then to be able to spread itself in other cells. And what that basically does is it weakens the immune system, and that's why we find so many of the illnesses associated with the herpes virus tends to be more autoimmune based. I'll also be sharing the hidden meanings behind herpes and how I see it as a medical intuitive energetically, and which chakras are involved, and the role that our personality plays in increasing the susceptibility of actually developing herpes. And then what I'm going to be doing is the same thing that I do on my radio show following the class. I'm going to go in and actually start answering questions, the same thing I'm doing right now, to the participants on the teleclass itself. Please do remember, it is free. It is a teleclass, so that means that you can do it again in the comfort of your home or also in your office. If you know of someone, whether it's yourself or you have friend or family member that is dealing with herpes, then this is something that you might want to share with them. Again, you can register for it. It is free on www.reitberger.com. Again, that's January 26, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. if you think that you may have a thyroid issue, parathyroid issue going on, and again, the best way for us to look at that is that we have to look at really the symptomology, but we also have to look at the fact that if you've seen a doctor, you really can't go in and they can't give you a clear diagnosis that what you're dealing with, then what you might want to do is go back to a doctor to be able to see if they can actually go in and see what's going on. And one of the things that you do is that, again, in this particular incident, these are things that should be done on a yearly basis, even if you really aren't in favor of going to the doctor, is a blood panel and a urine test. Now, the urine sample that's taken for a parathyroid issue has to be taken over a 24-hour period of time to see if in that 24 hours there is an elevated concentration of calcium. So it is something that maybe if there is an elevated level of calcium at the time that the urine test is taken, then that's an indicator of parathyroid issues. But if there isn't, and yet the symptomology seems to be really in alignment with parathyroid, then ask your doctor about having a urine sample that really specifically is tied to parathyroids. Another way to detect any issue is through the standard blood panel, as I said. In some cases, a doctor may even suggest an MRI or a CT scan or a sonography or maybe even thermography or an ultrasound. And what they're really doing in that case, they're not going to be able to tell whether the parathyroid is in a low functioning state, but what they're going to be looking specifically is, do we have any tumors on the parathyroid glands, or do we have any tumors or nodules on the thyroid gland? The conventional treatment for parathyroid disorders is to actually remove them or to use medication, but quite frankly, the choice of doctors is that if there's enough indicators that they are not functioning properly, is to go ahead and to remove them and then to offer medication that can help be able to support the bones themselves. Now, I'm very much an advocate for integrating complementary healing modalities in the healing process. And in the case of the parathyroids, though, I really do suggest that people need to start with a doctor, make sure that this is what you're dealing with. And then what you can do is then you can go and work with a holistic practitioner, integrative medicine doctor, homeopathic doctor, naturopath. But it really needs to, in the case of parathyroids, it really is helpful if you have a very clear diagnosis before you jump in and start doing something, because again, the symptomology is so similar to other things that you don't want to try something that's going to create possibly a greater imbalance in the physical body itself. So it may be that you're experiencing adrenal fatigue. That adrenal fatigue may be the result of parathyroid disorder, or it may be that the adrenal disorder is affecting the parathyroids. So really best thing to do is let's go and just get that basic test done, know what we're dealing with, and then alternative therapies and complementary therapies really can help in the process of restoring that balance and keeping your body going where it needs to, and to be able to help it manage while it doesn't have the secretion of the hormone that's from the parathyroid itself. Again, it may be that even after you use something like that, the best measure is going to be that they're going to go in and want to remove the parathyroids. Usually that's done really even for doctors as a last resort, when no matter what's being done can manage the calcium level itself. And elevated levels of calcium can be very destructive and detrimental to the body, not only kidney stones, but it can be part of the plaque and calcification that can show up in the different vessels and the aortas itself. So there's a lot of connection. That's why hypoparathyroidism can also be tied to the coronary heart disease as well. So that's the best way to work with it. I'm going to jump right on. I've got some callers right now. Hi, Sharon from Ohio. How can I help you, hon?
Oh, hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I'm facing a decision. I've had chronic fatigue and some environmental illness, and I have a tooth that's got fractured and then infected. And the doctor thought he could save it anyway until it got infected, and now I would have to have a root canal. And, you know, the holistic dentists don't really recommend that for anyone with immune right. system problems. And but unfortunately, I've already lost the molars on that side. So I don't know if I would be in any danger trying to hang on to it, or it's kind of a very perplexing situation.
It is. It is. It's kind of, you know, which way do you look at it? You've lost molars on the other side. Do you have a bridge?
No, I haven't been able to, because of the environmental illness, put anything in my mouth.
Okay. That. Thank you for that. I just needed to ask with that. I'm going in and... The issue with it, sweetie, is that the crack and the infection, I've got an abscess down there. It's almost as though, honestly, it feels to me we would be better off, if we're going to do anything, pull the tooth than we are to go in and subject your body to that root canal and to the infection itself. I know that may not be what you want to hear, but it would be a cleaner, easier way than to go in and disrupt what's going on. So that's one way I'll take it. The other way is that I'm going in and looking at your body's response to a root canal, and I keep coming up, every time I touch it any direction, your immune system says no. It says where it is right now, we're either going to go through, pull it, Carol, do what needs to be, but we don't want to go in and dig or scrape or do anything that way. That's what your immune system said. So I just ask your immune system, is there anything that we can do from a holistic perspective that could help with it? And it's basically saying to me, if you decide that you do have to get the root canal, or you do decide to pull it, or you do decide to work with a holistic dentist on this, we're going to have to get that immune system really supported. And then that connected me to the liver. We're probably going to have to do some liver cleanse, mild. We're going to have to boost the liver. We're going to have to get it flushed out the way that it needs to before this can happen. So here's where I'm going to net it down to. If you decide that you want to continue to hang on to the tooth and take a wait and see and focus all of your energy in boosting your immune system to be able to deal with whatever course of action you take, you have that option. However, I do need, as you know, there is an infection there. I do have, feels to me, a presence of an abscess. I don't know how quickly that can be affected by working with it holistically, honestly. Or what you can do is you can take the step, and I keep coming back that you might be better off to lose the tooth than you are to go in and to try to, nobody wants to lose teeth, but I'm not sure with the invasiveness for trying to fix the fracture or doing the root canal that it's going to give you what you're looking for, very honestly.
Oh, okay, that kind of confirms what I was feeling, but it's hard to just go ahead and take that step.
It is, because of the fact that you really, the first and foremost things with you, anything you ever do, and I can understand the dilemma, is that with the history, we don't want to do anything that's going to seem really invasive to your body, because your immune system is always like this little hypervigilant army force that's always on call. And if we do anything that's going to really be perceived by the brain, the mind, and the immune system that there's a that this is going to be really invasive, it's going to start its inflammatory response long before you even start the process. And that's probably the best thing that I can say and share is that you always have to go in and almost say, so immune system, how are we doing today? You know, today do we need a boost? Today are we okay? And as crazy as it sounds, the body does talk to us when you feel tired, and more tired than other times. That's probably not a time to go in and do anything invasive, whether it's psychological or physical.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, and it just kind of helps me move forward with what I thought, you know.
Yeah.
I just had one other quick question. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been helping someone with brain cancer, and mm-hmm. it's been very intense. It's been 3 to 4 months. He is in a little bit of a remission now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because of all the pressure that was on me, and he didn't seem to understand when, you know, I couldn't be on the Internet or something because of my own illness,
right.
You know, there was a little bit of a misunderstanding. And so now it seems as though he hasn't forgiven me. He's very cool, and I don't know if you can give me any information or help on that.
I can, sweetie, and I know we've talked before about these things. But the one thing I can tell you is let's look at what you're experiencing in your tooth, on the root, in the infection. What feels to me like the formation of an abscess small is that's the pressure building up. There's something that no matter what you say, how you say it, is the ball is in his court. If he's not willing to forgive you over the things that, because of your lack of availability, then you might need to kind of look at what we talked about with the tooth, sweetie, is you might need to step back and say, in a metaphoric way, do I need to just remove him from my life at this point in time? I'm not saying forever in this case, but do I need to remove him, such as pulling out that tooth? Do I need to go through all the angst of that fracture and fixing it, doing the root canal, subjecting my body to all of this to try to win his favor back? Or do I basically boost myself up, my immune system, keep myself focused on my own health, and then things are going to fall where they may?
Okay, that's great. That helps. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, and thanks always for calling and supporting my work, sweetie.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, Tammy, line two. How are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. How can I help?
Yes, I am calling. You know what? Let me switch phones. This one might be a little clearer. Let's see.
Okay.
Is that better?
Actually, the other one was better.
Oh, okay. Back to that. Okay.
Woohoo!
That's such a deal. I have thyroid issues and mm-hmm. adrenal issues and stress and anxiety, and I have Graves and Hashimoto's.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was hearing you talk about, you know, like the voice is kind of trapped,
mm-hmm.
where you don't really, you know, speak up for yourself. So I guess I was wondering what your take is on what I should do. And I heard about the parathyroid, and I thought, oh, boy, heavens, let's hope that's not involved as well.
Actually, I'll go in and I'll start right there, and then I'm going to back into the other part of it. Your parathyroids are not involved.
Oh,
so there you go.
Excellent. Yay.
So, but from that standpoint, you know, it's a chicken and an egg with what you're dealing with. Is it the thyroid that created the adrenal problem or the adrenal problem that created the thyroid
right.
problem? And the one thing is that if you go back in and you look at your life, sweetie, kind of like you and I stepping outside and we have this, you know, this LCD, LED screen in front of us. And I say to you, you know, Tammy, this is your life, sweetie. And we look at your life outside of yourself. Honey, you have got enough reasons for to not speak up because it's not anything that was encouraged. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was things that really was discouraged to the point where it feels like there was a lot of emotional abuse or trauma that was perceived or real that really has caused you to be where you are. So the first thing is it's not to blame and it's not to justify where they are. But when I stand next to you and I say, Tammy, this is your life. Oh, honey, I mean, you know, I can understand where you are. So from having said that, the reason for it is that what you're dealing with now is really a reflection of a pattern that was really emotionally charged in a way that it was easier for you to not speak up for yourself. I mean, you could, you know, as a child, you'd speak up for yourself and the ramifications certainly weren't positive, or you felt like you were talking to a blank wall, whatever it may be. Relationship with mom, I can pick up. It's like, you know, what do you want? I keep getting this feeling of being brushed off. I'm not saying she didn't love you, so excuse me for being riddles, but you still weren't heard. And so what you're doing now is you have this coming in front of you, at this time in your life where it's almost like your soul said, you know, Tammy, you're big people now. You can do whatever you want. And it's kind of like, well, I don't know what that looks like. And you're learning to grow into your skin. And one of the things that I always encourage in working at this level is, sweetie, start journaling. Do you journal? Do you have a diary or a journal or something you work with every day?
Not that I work with every day. I have started doing it a little bit, but it's sporadic.
Okay. So what I'm going to ask, if we can take that from being sporadic to every day, and it doesn't have to be an hour or 2 hours, is if something happens during the day that causes you to, that drains your energy or causes these old mantras or perceptions to come forward, I'd just like you to write something, whether it's an affirmation or even write down what you're feeling. Write down what you're feeling, what triggered it. So what you can do is you can step out of it in that emotional part and look at it like I would. And what that'll do is it's going to help you start to see a pattern, maybe a pattern of people in your life or a person in your life. But what it's going to do is you can use that written word to start to express how you feel so it doesn't stay inside.
Okay. Probably.
That's the most important thing. The other thing is that it feels like between 3 and 4 years old. Did you have something traumatic happen? You don't have to share it on air.
You know,
yes,
I don't really know what it was.
Okay. Okay. So it started back very early on. When I say traumatic, it doesn't, again, I need to be really clear. So please, all my listeners, bear with me. I'm not talking about anything that has the trauma associated with any kind of sexual abuse at all, honey. It's just you always have been a very sensitive person. And it could be something that happened that embarrassed you or humiliated you, or you got scolded in a way. Do you have a sibling?
Yes, I have an older sister, 3 years older.
And it may be that it could be something as simple as you didn't want to share, it feels like, or she was a favored child. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm going to tell you that's where it started.
Oh, with my sister. Okay.
It started with all of that build up from there, not blaming your sister, not blaming your mom, but it started in that point in time that it was something that you, it feels to me, you got scolded in a way that it embarrassed you. It made you feel bad about yourself. That's what you're dealing with.
Okay.
So Louise Hay, queen of affirmations, love her to pieces, friend of mine. Look at things like that. That will all be very, very helpful for you. Journaling will be helpful for you. Also, if you you feel like you dream, is that correct?
I feel like I dream.
Do you dream?
You know what? Sometimes.
Okay. If you would get a very simple book called The Dream Book by Betty Bethard, B-E-T-H-A-R-D, it'll be on this recording.
Okay.
Start paying attention when your dreams come forward, because your dreams are helping you do this work. And if you interpret it, it's going to help you even more.
And I'm having some big difficulties in my marriage and with my husband.
Yeah, and all that's doing, sweetie, is it's honestly providing you the opportunity to ask the question, do you want to stay? If you do stay, what's going to be required? There are things that really just don't gel with your core values. It was easy to put them on the burner, back burner before, not now. Not now. They've got to come forward. That's why I was trying to find a creative way to be able to start the expression aspect of it. The thing that your spouse has undermined you is that for some reason he perceives that you're indecisive. That's not the case at all. It's just when you share your decisions or you share what you'd like to do, he doesn't listen, very honestly. And in that particular case, it's not he's a bad person. It's just that he's busy thinking about what he's thinking about and what his needs are. Again, that's a personality thing. You're different personalities. So having said that, you could look at my book, What Colors Your Personality, available through Amazon or through HayHouse.com, and then go in and discover your personality color, and that will give you a lot of insight into who you are, your values, your needs. And then all you'll do is recognize, oh, my gosh, he's just a different personality. These are his needs. His needs and my needs don't always meet. And
well,
I can either not say anything or I can say something.
Yeah, so I've been giving up my needs because I'm a kind of a people pleaser.
Yeah.
So then I kind of feel like I lost myself somewhere.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you haven't. It just has been buried for a long time. That people pleasing quality about you started very, very early. So those are some things, sweetie. So sorry I've got to run, but some things for you to think about. You're not lost, darling. I can feel you. You've got a great sense of humor. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. It's always, woo, it always goes by quick. I say this every show, but it goes by quick. You can listen to this in my archives, www.ripburger.com. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Ripburger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.